Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking about how to elevate your laundry room with proper organization. And I'm talking to Caroline Thor, who is a KonMari consultant and professional organizer. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you for joining me. Before we get started on this topic, I'd love to know a little bit more about you. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, of course. As you said, I'm Caroline. I'm from the UK originally. I've been living in Germany for the last 18 years. Love brought me over the pond. And I have three kids who are aged 16, 14 and 11. And I originally trained as a classroom music teacher in the UK and had sort of progressed my way up to being assistant head teacher before I moved to Germany, and I carried on working in education. And as a mum of young kids, I was feeling super overwhelmed and really stressed the whole time. And I didn't really know why. And then one day I happened to read a copy of Good Housekeeping that had been sent to me from the UK. And in there, they were talking about the life-changing magic of tidying up, the book by Marie Kondo. And I read it. I sent for it immediately because I thought, wow, this sounds great. And immediately started implementing her method as I read the book. And it took me a year to do our home, trying to fit it in among the kids. The youngest was a baby at the time. And it literally changed my life. It saved me. I suddenly went from feeling completely overwhelmed to feeling in control of things. I hadn't realized the impact my home was having on me and my mental health. And I think the day that I realized the impact it has had was when my middle daughter said to me, "You're a much nicer mummy now." And she, of course, at that age didn't know that the tidying was responsible for that. But I thought, wow, there's really something in this. And I carried on teaching. And then during COVID, I had this sort of aha moment of, I need to train. I need to help other women gain this peace. I'd had sort of 8 years of feeling relaxed and calm in my home and in control. And I wanted to help other women feel this. And so I realized they were now doing online trainings, which hadn't been the case before. And I immediately signed up. And the rest is basically history. So I've been working now for 2.5 years. I've got over 650 hours in-house with clients. I launched an online course this year. I've just recently launched a membership. I have a podcast. So it has literally changed my life, this book. So it's quite incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, even just to, you know, see the difference it had, you know, that your kids recognized, you know, the difference in you. And then also being able to build, you know, I guess a career for yourself, helping other people, you know, and helping other people experience the same thing that you did. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fulfilling. And it very often has a lot more to do than just the clutter. Or I will sometimes walk into someone's home and I think, oh, why am I here? Because it looks better than my home. But there's other stuff going on and everyone has their own level of overwhelm. And it's great to be able to help people with that.
Yeah. Thank you for that introduction. We're going to get to know you a bit better with a section called Have You Met Caroline? And the first thing we'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
Oh, this actually is something I've read this year. It's The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan. I don't know if you've read this book. It's absolutely amazing. It's one of these self-improvement books. I'm very into reading books that are going to improve my mindset on things. And it's basically about measuring forward and obsessing over the gap, which a lot of us do. It's like, oh, I've not got as much done as I thought. Whereas actually what we should be doing is measuring backwards and looking at all the gains we've achieved. Like, okay, I didn't manage to reach my goal, but look what I did manage to do. And it's been an amazing book. It's really changed my mindset this year and helped me see things in a much, much more positive way. So The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan is my favorite book this year.
Great. Thank you. I think I've been experiencing that a bit. We're moving home, so I have a lot of things to tick off on my list. And I'm always like, oh, I did manage to do this, this, and this. And my partner looks at the list. He said, but you did this, 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 this. So I think that's, yeah, a very important mindset.
Yeah, you're in the gap and he's in the game.
Exactly. Well, he's doing his own things. And I think he sees everything that he does.
Excellent.
But yes, maybe I need to read the book and he can tell me about it, you know, from his mindset maybe.
Yeah.
And have you watched any movies recently?
I have a bit of an admission to make, which is the only movie I have watched this year is the Barbie movie. It was the only movie I've seen. And I actually really enjoyed it. I went because my girls wanted to go. And so we all went and even my husband enjoyed it. And I actually thought it was really refreshing to see Barbie in a way I'd not really thought about her before. You know, she was really forward thinking. She had a house. She owned her own house at a time when Barbie came out. Women weren't owning their own houses. And of course, as a KonMari consultant, these perfectly organized houses, it was a bit much, really, and far too much pink, but it was still fun.
I mean, I still kind of wish I lived in a house like that. You know, just having my magical clothes just appear to me every day. I don't have to decide. And then it just kind of disappears at the end of the day. I don't have to put it away.
Yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it? That would be really good.
Yeah. And do you listen to any podcasts?
I'm afraid to say that all the podcasts I listen to are for my business. And the main one I listen to is Online Marketing Made Easy by Amy Porterfield. I love it. I gain so much insight into how I can move my business forward. So that's what I'm doing as I'm driving around being a taxi service for my kids. I'm trying to get a bit of extra information to move my business forward at the same time.
I mean, that's the amazing thing with podcasts is you can just, you know, plug them into your ears at any time, you know, you're doing something else and, you know, use that time productively.
Yeah. And it's also very motivating as well. People say this about my podcast too. They'll listen while they're doing the tidying up and it motivates them to keep going. So that's cool.
Yeah. And do you have a role model?
I do. And it's actually from my youth and it was Oprah Winfrey. And the reason is because it was the first time I was actually aware that you could read things or do things in order to improve your mind or your mindset. I used to watch it as a teenager, completely fascinated when she would talk to people about these self-improvement books. It was the first time I'd even been aware that this was something you could do, that you could change your mindset. And it's really stayed with me. Throughout my sort of adult life that I have this thirst to sort of always be reading something that could perhaps it won't make any difference, but you never know, you might get that one sentence that makes a difference in your life. So I think from that point of view, she's been my role model.
I've got to say, I don't know much about Oprah Winfrey, unfortunately. I think my parents discouraged us from watching TV when we were kids.
Very wise, probably. I don't think Mum was even aware that I was watching it, but I did.
But yeah, she seems like an amazing person. And yeah, I mean, providing that information to help, you know, self-improvement, not everything's going to work for everyone, but I think just being able to like try different things and see what works, very important for everyone.
Yeah, being open to the possibility things can be different.
Yeah. And have you completed any courses that have inspired you?
I'm a bit of a course junkie, actually. I'm permanently buying courses. And again, it's business related. But the course that has inspired me the most is actually one that Amy Porterfield runs, whose podcast I listen to, and it's Digital Course Academy. and it helps business owners set up an online course from scratch and how to develop it and promote it and get started and all the tech you need and all the rest of it. And I did that last year in 2022. And it's because of that that I managed to get my online course launched in January of this year. So that's the course I think that's made the most difference in my life.
Yeah, I mean, be able to say that I've done this course and then produce something, that's you know, great. That's a great advertisement, you know. It really does what it says on the box.
Yeah, exactly. But it's always very funny when you say to people, I'm doing an online course on how to build an online course. It's a bit weird, but but it certainly has been worth it. And it's changed the trajectory of my business completely.
Great, thank you. So I like to start the podcast with a few definitions. So the first thing I'd like to know is, how do you define home organization?
I've really been giving some thought to this because I knew you were going to ask this question. And for me, home organization is every single item having a place to go back to. Because when that is the case, the ability to reset quickly when things get untidy is really simple. So definitely everything having a place to go back to and not having too much of everything. So the system is in place. You don't have the clutter and everything has a home to go back to.
And that's where I guess the KonMari method comes in, making sure you don't have too much stuff and making sure everything goes into its place.
Yes, definitely. It's life-changing.
Yeah. And I think I'd like to know how does this fit into laundry organization? Because I mean, I sort of see the laundry as, you know, you just kind of throw everything in there and the washing gets done and you pull it out again and then eventually it gets sorted and then put back in its place. Is there a way of organizing the laundry so that, I don't know, it's easier?
Oh, definitely. Yep. I think the organization of laundry starts in the closet before you even get to the laundry. Because if you have too many clothes, what ends up happening is you'll keep thinking, oh, I don't need to do the laundry yet. Everyone's still got something to wear. And so your laundry pile gets bigger and bigger. And I see this a lot with clients. Laundry is the main thing that they struggle with. So having less clothes for everybody means that you're sort of almost forced to do the laundry more regularly. It's quicker because there's not as much to do. And you can get yourself into a routine and a system, which means that you're going to not end up with these Mount Everest size piles of laundry, which I've seen many times in people's homes, and they just become completely overwhelming. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to have a routine in place. And I'm someone, and this is going to sound very strange for a professional organizer, I really struggle with organization. This is why I needed something like the KonMari method to help me. If I don't have a routine, things unravel really quickly and I'm back to square one. So I've really had to force myself to create something to maintain it. So I have specific days when I will do the laundry, and it means that I keep on top of it. So that's what I would recommend to everyone, to have a way of knowing, okay, on this day I'm going to do this, and then have a way of putting them back quickly so that it doesn't, as soon as they're dry, put them away. Because this is the other thing I often see at people's homes, is laundry baskets piled around the house, piled with clothes, and never getting around to putting them away. And that also then becomes overwhelming. It's either we've got a pile of dirty clothes or we've got a pile of clean clothes. And both of them aren't great in terms of keeping your home visually uncluttered. So that is why I think organization is important for laundry and why it can make a difference.
Great. And I'm very much looking forward to learning how to get it organized, because I'm definitely fall into the laundry pile of having a clean laundry that's never put away. And we've recently moved. We've got a lovely, beautiful place, but we want to keep it tidy. We don't want to have the visual clutter that we had in the old place. I guess the first thing is, So I think you've already said step one is declutter your wardrobe. Yeah. Do you have any tips on, you know, quick tips on how to do that?
Yeah, I always say, look at how many clothes you wear during a week and try not to have too many more than that. So if I take my 11-year-old son as an example, he has 7 t-shirts, he has 4 pairs of trousers, he has enough underwear for a week, he has 2 hoodies, that's it. It all fits in 2 little boxes. He doesn't even use drawers. We've got these little IKEA boxes that everything gets folded and put in. It means for him, it's not overwhelming in the morning because he can just grab anything. And this is the other key point, to make sure that the clothes you have in your closet, you love. We wear 20% of our clothes 80% of the time. And that's quite scary. That means the other 80% are just hanging up there or folded and never get worn. So they're taking up space. And it means that it becomes quite overwhelming getting ready in the morning because you're like rooting through trying to find that t-shirt when it could be a lot easier. So make sure that the clothes you have are ones you love to wear, whether that's sweatpants, whether that's t-shirts, anything. And try and make sure that you don't have too many of everything. So that's the first tip I would give in order to declutter your clothes.
Okay, great. And then, yeah, set up a routine to wash everything. But is there a specific way that we should organize our laundry rooms to make it easier to, you know, get around and get everything done?
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everybody, but some people, for example, will have a laundry basket for each member of the family. Mm-hmm. And then that can be brought down to the laundry room when it's time to do the laundry. I think having the laundry room set up in a way that it's also uncluttered and not overwhelming is really helpful. So we tend to have cupboards and units in our laundry rooms. And if we open them to get out the washing powder or whatever it is we use, and we've got 4 different bottles there, and it gets really overwhelming. We all fall for this buy one, get one free and think, oh, great. But then we fall for it the next time we go as well. And before we know it, we've got 6 of the things and they take up so much space. So one of the first things is to make sure that your laundry room is uncluttered, that you only have the things in there that you really need, that everything has a specific place and a place to go back to. It may be you're storing other things in your laundry room, like linens, for example. Some people keep those in the laundry room. But then if that's the case, make sure they're separate from things that you use for doing the washing or things that you use for cleaning, because very often we keep cleaning products in the laundry room as well. Make sure that each category of things has a place to go back to, and that will help you stay organized so that when you take the laundry down to do, it's a quick and easy routine. You don't have to start looking for stuff. I actually have moved to using washing powder laundry sheets. I don't even use a powder or a liquid anymore. In Germany, we have sheets that are like pressed. I guess it's the liquid pressed into a small little sheet and you just pop the sheet into the washing machine. So I've got 2 little A5 size bags now that are in a box on top of my washing machine. So I don't even have to go to a cupboard and get them out. So storing things in boxes is great. It keeps things categories together, keep them of grab available so that you're not having to root around and find them. That speeds things up. Having laundry baskets in the laundry room where you can perhaps separate out whites from colors so that you have got a quicker system. You don't have to sort it when it comes to actually putting the washing on. All these things will make the system much more organized and streamlined.
Mm. And I guess it also means that, like, if someone else comes in, you know, maybe a kid who wants to help out, or if you're getting the kid to do it because, you know, you want to teach them how to do it, it's a lot easier for them because they can look and you can say it is the 3rd basket on the left with all the laundry stuff. rather than saying it's somewhere in the drawer.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is the great thing about everything having a place to go back to. It means that everyone in the family knows where everything is and they don't have to keep asking you anymore. It's all very clear to everybody. It creates independence. As you say, with the laundry, it's so important to get the kids involved as early as possible. But, and I'll go off on a bit of a tangent here, it really is a great teachable moment because you wouldn't, for example, say to your child, here are the car keys, off you go and drive the car without showing them first how it works. And mm-hmm. you can't expect them to know how to use a washing machine either. So what I've done with my kids since they were little is I've taken them down and to start with, you have them press the on-off button. The next time you take them down, you show them how to put the washing materials in, etc. And you build it step by step until eventually they are capable of doing it on their own and you know you don't have to be with them anymore. But you can't just expect them to be able to do it. You need to train them almost how to do it. And yes, that takes a little bit of time, but in the long run, imagine how much time it's going to save you. So that is a definite tip that I would give to people is to get the kids trained as early as possible so that they don't feel overwhelmed looking at a washing machine.
Mm. Yeah, I can. I never had to do my washing. I learned how to do my washing, but then my mum broke her ankle and all of a sudden I had to do all of the washing.
Yes, it's quite daunting when you yeah. don't know what you're doing. We actually had this a couple of years ago that my mother-in-law was going into hospital for an operation and we suddenly realized my father-in-law had no idea how to even turn the washing machine on. He'd never, ever put a load of washing on. So, you know, you do need to, and then you couldn't just expect him to be able to do it. She had to train him before she went into hospital on how to do it. It's very important.
Mm, yes, even if they don't do it, everyone needs to know.
Yes, just in case.
Just in case. So you did mention having multiple baskets for, you know, maybe sorting out laundry into whites, dark colors. But what happens if you have a small laundry? Or in my example, my laundry is actually the bathroom and we really don't have that much space. Do you have any recommendations, you know, to how to maximize the space?
Yeah, definitely. There are so many amazing resources out there now for small spaces. So lots of people do have their washing machine in the bathroom and then it isn't possible to have like multiple baskets standing around, as you say. So we actually have a sort of nice looking laundry basket in our bedroom where the washing gets put in when it's dirty. And then what I actually do is I have two washing baskets that I can then separate out colors from whites. Now, if you don't have room to store those, there are actually now washing baskets that you can sort of fold flat, sort of made from silicone, and you just sort of give it a flick and the bottom falls out and you have a normal size laundry basket. And then you can perhaps slide those down the side of a cupboard or put in the back of your wardrobe when you're not using them. So things like that are a really good idea. And if you have your laundry in the bathroom, having a dedicated space in a cupboard, if that's possible, in the bathroom where you can store any washing powder or liquid that you want to be using. If that's not possible, then perhaps think about where is somewhere nearby, perhaps on a landing space that you could perhaps have a chest of drawers and have a space in there where you can keep the laundry materials, but have them in a box so you can just pick the box up, take it through to the bathroom, use the stuff, and then take it back again.
Try
and make use of the space that way.
And so you mentioned as well, having a few items. What are some like maybe a laundry essentials that we need, and maybe we have a few things that we don't need?
I think essentials that we need is a washing basket so that we can actually mm-hmm. transfer dirty laundry and then take it back once it's clean. That's an essential. Obviously, having either your powder, your liquid, or in my case, your sheets for putting into the washing machine to actually wash the clothes, that's an essential. Some people like to put a conditioner in as well. That's not personally something I do because I don't want another bottle standing around. And that is my one reason for doing it. But very, very minimalist in our house. But that's something else that perhaps some people might count in as essential. And I think these days, another essential is having some way of drying the laundry that doesn't involve using a tumble dryer. Most people do have a tumble dryer these days, and I do have one, but I use it one time in the week. And I use it to dry towels because I don't like it when the towels get all hard and crispy when they're hung out to dry. My husband prefers them like that, but I've overruled him and we have soft towels because they go in the tumble dryer. But that is the only time I use the tumble dryer, unless we have an emergency and we need to get something dry quickly. Everything else I hang out. Now, having a drying rack, if you have an apartment and you haven't got space that you can stand up somewhere and hang your clothes out to dry, is then an essential. Or if you have an outdoor space, having a washing line that you can take the washing out and hang it, or one of these turny round washing lines we have in Germany and the UK. I don't know if you have those in Australia as well.
I think they were invented in Australia.
Were they?
Ah. I think so, but I cannot remember the name of them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll call it the turny washing line. But that, I think, these days, to be environmentally conscious is an essential, because we need to be using as little energy as we possibly can. And in Australia, you have the weather for drying your clothes outside. They'll be dry in seconds. So you can, that's also, I think, an essential as well. Mm. And then maybe you need clothes pegs if you're going to be hanging your washing up.
Mm. I can tell you that in winter, you know, it can be hard to dry things, but in summer, you take things out, you hang them up, and it's dry before the next load of washing is done.
Yeah. I have that in Germany in the summer as well. We get very hot summers here. But I'm very fortunate in my house that I have a room where the heating system is built into, and I have space to put a drying rack in there. Now, not everyone has that luxury, but you perhaps have got a spare bedroom, or perhaps you can put it in your bedroom. You just need to be a little bit careful of moisture coming into the apartment from the washing drying. You need to make sure you then ventilate properly. Otherwise, you're going to end up with problems with moisture. But I think it's important that we try to use the tumble dryer as little as possible.
Mm, yeah, thank you. I was going to actually ask about the ventilation if you were having it indoors. Would you recommend like a dehumidifier or just opening a window?
Fresh air is always the best thing. In Germany, we're actually obsessed with airing our houses. We all, and it really is, if you go for a walk in the morning, everyone, all windows wide open for 10 minutes every single morning, airing. Everyone does it. And if you rent an apartment here, you get in serious trouble if you're not airing every day. So that's one thing I definitely would recommend. If you can have a window slightly open while your washing's drying, that's great. Otherwise, as you were saying, using a dehumidifier or something is going to help keep the moisture level down, which is really, really important. Otherwise, you're going to have problems with mildew and stuff in the corners.
Yeah, because a few times, you know, when it was very, very wet, we have hung the laundry in the bedroom. And my partner was like, why don't we do this all the time? And I was like, it's going to get moldy. And then we have to deal with the mold. And that's much worse than having wet clothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, some people also have radiators. I mean, maybe if it's cold enough in the winter and you've got a heating system, like you've got radiators around, but again, you're releasing a load of moisture. So I often think hanging your clothes in the bedroom probably isn't the best, because then you're going to be lying in this very humid atmosphere when you go to bed at night. If you've got the possibility of having windows open all the time, then that's much better.
Mm. Maybe not ideal, though, when it's very cold.
No, definitely not.
And do you have any more like recommendations for things like lighting or ventilation in the laundry room?
Lighting is really important if you are going to be folding and sorting your clothes, especially in the laundry room. So some people have got the luxury, and I do, of having like a kitchen type work surface space in the laundry room where they can actually fold. So having bright lighting is really important then, so that you can actually see what you're doing. And not only that, most of us don't actually particularly like doing the laundry. It's not one of our favourite jobs. So having a space that's a bit more inviting to go into, where you go in and the light is good, is going to make you feel better about going into that space and make you more likely to want to do your laundry in the first place.
Yes, I definitely have that problem where I just don't want to do the, I don't mind doing the washing, but I don't want to put it away. And so sometimes to get myself to do it, I put the TV on and I watch TV while I do the laundry.
Yes, that's a really good idea.
Do you have any other like recommendations of like how to get ourselves going when it comes to like putting laundry away, or, you know, any recommendations for folding or sorting, that type of thing?
I love your idea of watching something. This is actually what I do. I will save up an episode of something that I know I really would like to watch, but I don't need to be focusing too much on what's actually happening on the screen. And I will then have that on my laptop. I carry my laptop around with me and I watch something, or I put my earphones in and I listen to a podcast while I'm doing the laundry. Things like that are really motivating. And for people with ADHD, trying to do the laundry is one of the toughest things that they have. And so trying distracting yourself with doing something that you love doing, like listening to something or watching while you're doing the laundry, a job you don't particularly want to do, will help you make that step towards doing it. Some people now have set up their laundry rooms. If you are sorting your clothes in the laundry room, making sure that they've got USB ports in there. Some people have even built in sound systems now, so that when you go in to do the laundry, you've got good sound. Having a space where you can put a screen, or even, maybe some people have even started building screens into their laundry rooms. Who knows? But creating a way of motivating yourself and rewarding yourself for doing it. Another book I've read this year that I've loved is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And he talks about habit stacking there. So if you know you've got a habit like putting the laundry away that you really struggle with, stack it with something that you enjoy doing in order to make it easier. And for those people with kids, this is another reason why we had children, was to help put the laundry away, in my opinion. I actually bring my laundry when it's dry up to my bedroom and tip it all out on the bed. And then I let the kids know it's there and they need to come and root through and find their clothes. Then they take it in a washing basket and take it back to their room, and they're responsible for putting it away. And we've been doing this since they're tiny, ever since they could sort of walk and carry even like a flannel from my room through to the bathroom and put it in a drawer. As far as they're concerned, this is what they do. It's part of their contribution to the home running smoothly. So involving your kids, not assuming it's all just one person's job to put the laundry away. There's five of us in our house. That's a lot of laundry to put away. And it's not my job. I leave my husband's clothes on the bed and he sorts his and puts them away as well. So we're all responsible for our clothes. That actually, I think, especially with the children, makes them value their clothes a lot more. When they just miraculously appear in their wardrobes and drawers, and they don't ever have a part of that process, it makes them less likely to look after their clothes as well. Whereas if they've actually had to fold them and put them away, it gives them a bit more responsibility towards them too.
Mm. I definitely remember as a kid, you know, wearing a pair of socks outside, getting them dirty, getting yelled at, and then changing socks. And then if I had maybe had to put away 10 pairs of socks instead of 5 pairs of socks, maybe I would have worn less socks.
Yeah, definitely. Although I don't think that probably would have been the case, actually, because my kids are putting their socks away and they're still running around outside with socks on, and then they get dirty and you find socks everywhere. But yeah, it's obviously a kid thing.
Yeah. I think socks are just, and I mean, in my opinion, socks are there to be worn. And if you go outside, then you go outside.
Yeah, my son thinks that, definitely. What my son actually does, because he doesn't want to fold his socks, we have a box and he just drops his socks in there and he just grabs two socks in the morning and wears them. So he never has matching socks on. But that for him is better than having to fold his socks and put them away. And he quite likes the fact he's the kid with odd socks.
Yes, my partner's the exact same.
That's good.
And you know what? He's like, I don't care. I don't care that I'm wearing unmatching socks. And that's fine for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Each to their own. Definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, I think, I mean, the last few years, I've been using the KonMari fold with a file fold, and my clothes are all put away that way. My husband doesn't. He still folds his t-shirts and stacks them, whereas mine are sort of folded, file folded into the drawer. I've got one kid that hangs everything. I've got another kid that file folds and puts everything in the drawers. You've got to find what works for you. And this is another thing when it comes to putting laundry away. Do what feels easy and quick. I enjoy folding. There's something for me therapeutic about doing it. And I've got really fast, so it's not a big issue for me. But if you hate folding clothes, and I say this to my clients as well, just because I'm a KonMari consultant, we don't have to fold your clothes, then hang them. Or if you've got ADHD and you really struggle, then just have boxes in your closet and just drop t-shirts into a box. At least you know where your t-shirts are. Make it the least steps for you that means you're going to do it.
Yes, I have to have all my clothes folded and put away in a way I can see. My partner just throw things in the cupboard, and guess who does the laundry quicker? It's him.
Yes, exactly. But for you, opening the drawer and it being visually calming probably helps you feel better about getting dressed in the morning or looking for something. And we have to understand ourselves and what makes us feel better and what makes it feel manageable. So that's an important part of it.
Yes, I can't look at his cupboard. Everything's just kind of falling out and I'm like, it's not my problem.
No. But it's good you can accept that, because unfortunately some people are always trying to get other people to do things in the way they want to. And I'd made that mistake some years ago now with one of my children. And I actually was trying to get her to tidy up and put her clothes away, how I put my clothes away. And it suddenly dawned on me one day, I was actually really stressing her out, because that's not how her brain works. And she actually now has got an ADHD diagnosis. So we've completely changed how we do things with her. She's had to develop a system that works for her. And I've just had to say, okay, it's not my clothes. I don't have to get them out in the morning. If that works for her, then that's great.
I think, yeah, it's definitely a learning process. It was a learning process for me as well. And I think it's great to see. I think my impression from KonMari consultants and from, you know, the KonMari method was everything has to be done this specific way. And it's good that I guess that you're quite open to having, you know, different ways, investigating what, you know, different people might like.
Yeah. I think this is actually a myth when it comes to the KonMari method, that things do have to be done a certain way. The premise of the KonMari method is that we're visualizing our ideal lifestyle and then trying to create a home that supports us in that. And yes, a KonMari consultant will show you how to file fold your clothes if that's what you want to do. But we're all also very aware that it may not work for you, and we're open to trying other things with you. So I think it's like the KonMari thing, that you're not allowed any books if you do the KonMari method. That's also this weird myth that has gone around. If you love books, keep them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you for busting that myth.
Yes.
And, you know, if, for example, you know, you were looking at renovating the home, would you, you know, look at doing the laundry room first? You know, what would you recommend to, you know, make it look a little bit better?
Oh, there's so many things you can do these days to make your laundry room a beautiful space. You can do fun things. So you could have some magnetic paint or some chalk paint on a place on the wall so that you can write notes and even write your laundry schedule up there and keep yourself organized. You can put cheerful wallpaper up so that it's a space you want to walk into, or pops of color. I have one client who has got a beautiful laundry space at the end of a room and then a curtain that goes across it to hide it. And then she has a sauna area in the other part. So you can create spaces that are multifunctional. It could become a mudroom. It could become a craft space. These days, when you've got fold out from the wall tables or drying racks or even ironing boards that are up on the wall and will fold down, there are so many things you can do to utilize the space and create a space that you want to be in. And you can also put pictures up on the walls and even have some decorations standing around, bring the outdoor in and have a plant, or it doesn't have to be this boring, empty space with just a cupboard and a washing machine and a dryer. So create something that you want to go into.
It makes sense that, you know, if you're going to be spending some time in there, folding laundry, doing laundry, or, you know, using it as a multi-purpose space, that you'd want to make it decorate it, make it look nice. And very different from, I think, when I was growing up, the impression I got of laundry rooms from TV was they're always, you know, in the basement, under the house, a bit haunted, a little bit scary.
Yeah, the place no one wants to go to.
Yeah. Whereas make it this beautiful place that you want to be in, and then you'll get your laundry done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned before, you know, that you really need routines and that, you know, getting a routine to do your laundry is really important. So I'd love to know, what is a practice you do to manage the laundry in your home?
Okay. So I have sort of three stages to it, really. The first one I mentioned already earlier on, which is just having less clothes for everybody so that it becomes more manageable. And then I have very set days for my laundry. So I have Mondays is always towels go in the wash. And it doesn't matter what my schedule is. Before I leave the house in the morning to go to a client on a Monday, I make sure the towels have gone into the washing machine so that by the time I come home, I can put them into the tumble dryer, because I use the tumble dryer for that. And then later on, I can hang them back up. So this means we only have one set of towels and I wash them and dry them and put them back in the bathrooms on the same day, which means I can't leave them standing around in a washing basket. So that's one trick I use in order to help me make sure that the laundry gets put away at the end of it. We have a few spare towels in case guests come. But otherwise, we have our five towels that we use, and we have hand towels, which of course we swap out during the week. But that is Monday is towels day. And then I do a small wash on a Wednesday where I just wash anything that is colored that's in the laundry. And again, I then hang that up to dry. And the next day I will dump that out on my bed and everyone will come and collect their clothes and put them away. And then I have one day where I do laundry at the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday. I try to do it on Saturday so that I can hang it up to dry and then everyone can put it away on Sunday. And we start the week with everyone having everything in their closets apart from the clothes they're wearing. So I've sort of developed that routine and I've become really quite rigid about sticking to it, because otherwise it starts to unravel. And the next thing is, son's got no underwear to wear because we only have enough for a week. So the fact we only have enough for a week means that I'm sort of forced to do the washing, because otherwise we are going to run into problems. But it means it's quick to put away. There's never that much to put away because we've only got a few days worth there. And because there's not that much, it means I can hang up for a family of five on one drying rack and it's dry within 24 hours and we can put it away again. When I first started this, as I said before, because I'm disorganized naturally, I really struggled to maintain it. So I ended up setting myself reminders on my phone that every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday, I would get a reminder that I should be doing that laundry on that day. And it took me about 3 months before I could switch off the reminder, and it had become habit. And recently, my husband was out of work for 6 months and he took over doing all the housework. And he maintained the system because it just works for us. So I taught him what my system was and he was like, yeah, that's good. I'll go with that. And he stuck with it. And it means that when I'm out at work, when other things happen, we've always got clean laundry. I know that on that day, regardless, I need to put it on. So that's the system that I use. But as I said before, it's the same as we're putting clothes away. You have to find a system that works for you. And it might be that having reminders going off on your phone is going to drive you crazy. But for me, that is better than me starting to feel overwhelmed by laundry piles.
Mm. And it makes me think as well that when I was a kid, now I don't have a school uniform. I sort of wear whatever I want every day. Week by week laundry hasn't been working for me. Maybe I'll give your method a go. But when I was a kid, I had the uniform every single week. I had two sets and I wore both of them during the week. And it made me think my mom must have done, or my dad must have done the laundry every single weekend to make sure I had a uniform for the next day.
Yeah. I think people who don't do the laundry don't really think about how it magically gets done and appears. I'm very fortunate in Germany that I don't have uniforms for my kids. They just wear their normal stuff to school. But when you do have something like a uniform, that's when doing the midweek wash is going to help, because you sort of just keep on top of it. And then doing it again at the weekend is going to mean that you've caught up with the stuff from the second half of the week, and it just helps things sort of keep rolling through, basically. I've had the case with some clients who have gone to schools where the kids have had uniforms, that the children have worn their uniforms to school all day, have come home from school and got changed out of their uniform, and perhaps just worn those clothes for a few hours, and they haven't been outside. They've been perhaps sitting playing something on their computer or on their Switch or something, or watching TV, and they've had dinner and they've gone to bed. And then they've put those clothes in the wash. So those kids have worn two lots. They've worn their uniform and their home clothes and put everything in the wash on one day. And I've said to these clients, you know, if the children have only worn them for a few hours and they've not been running around outside and getting hot and sweaty and dirty, then don't put them in the wash. Have a place where they can put them over a back of a chair or a spare box that they put them in, and then they can put them back on the next day when they come home, and then maybe they do go in the wash. It's different when they've been outside running around and playing outside. But for those days when they haven't, then you don't need to be washing everything every time it's worn.
Mm. But then that does create, I think, the chair of clothes, which is what we have.
The chair of clothes.
they're slightly too dirty to put back in the cupboard, but they're not quite dirty enough to like go in the washing. Yes. And then it can become a bit of a problem of its own, because then it kind of piles up and, you know, any recommendations for that?
This is when having too many clothes means that you can pile things up there. So okay. I can't pile too much. I have a chair as well, but it can't get too piled because I don't have multiple pairs of jeans, for example. At the moment, I only have two. So there can only ever be one pair of jeans on there because I'm wearing the other one. So I've probably gone a bit too far in the opposite direction in a minimalist wardrobe. But what I recommend for some clients who don't want this chair is you can get like little freestanding clothing rails where you can hang the stuff so that it at least looks aesthetically pleasing. And you're like, okay, these are the clothes I need to wear. Or have a basket that you drop the clothes into so it looks nice in your room, but you don't need to see them. Obviously, things then get creased if you've dropped them into a basket, but if you're not worried about your clothes being creased, that's another possibility. I think we have to accept that having a chair or somewhere where clothes that aren't quite dirty enough to yet go in the laundry is just one of these things. Somehow my husband manages to always keep his completely clear. But yeah, having too many clothes is very often the problem.
All right, so time for a declutter.
Yes, I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to move on to the open mic now. This is a chance for you to talk about something that you're passionate about. It can be related to our topic. It doesn't have to be. What did you want to talk about today?
The thing I would love to talk about is perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
It really is something I feel very passionately about, that so many people these days feel under pressure that everything has to look and be perfect all the time, because we're bombarded by these perfect images on Instagram of homes and they're not real. They've been set up for the filming or for the photographs or to make the reel, and it's not the reality and it's not maintainable. And it puts, I think, a lot of people under pressure that their homes should be looking like that all the time. And the thing I love about the KonMari method is that we are creating a home that supports our ideal lifestyle. And that is different, luckily, for every single person. I have never once left a client's home and it's looked anything like any other home that I have ever left, because for them, maybe having lots of things standing around is important because they're items that they love and they spark joy for them and they want to see them. It sort of gives them an energy to see them because it makes them feel joyful. Whereas for somebody else, it might be they have to have completely clean surfaces with nothing out anywhere, the completely minimalist look, otherwise they feel visually overwhelmed. Then we've got people who have got kids, and let's face it, they leave stuff lying around. So either you're going to be permanently running around after them picking up or nagging them to pick up, or we just have to say, this is life. We have a family and our home is going to look untidy. But the important thing is that we can quickly reset it because everything's got a home to go back to and we haven't got too much of anything. And this is something that I feel so passionately about. And I want to support people so that they don't feel that they have to strive for this perfectionism. And also that they start to understand what for them is an acceptable level of tidy and organized. That I set up my membership so that I can have people on a daily basis getting support and input and tips, so that we can all work towards creating a home that supports our ideal lifestyle, not the Instagram perfect home that isn't maintainable.
Okay, interesting. So is this like app-based? Is it emails? Or is there like a website that you have to go to for this?
I actually have a membership platform where there are resources available for everyone. And then we have a private Facebook group where we meet daily if you want to, and in the comments, and I set challenges once a week of a little thing that can be done in 10 to 20 minutes. So for example, the other day, it's cold in a lot of places in the world at the moment, not necessarily with you, but we had a declutter of hats, gloves and scarves, like outdoor wear, so that everyone in the family had got one pair of everything in a central place so that when we walk out the door, it's easy. And we got rid of the rest or stored spares somewhere else so that we just create a system that works on a daily basis. And we stop this, "Mom, I can't find my gloves." So the Facebook group is key because it's giving everyone the daily motivation and accountability. People are posting their before and after photos. And that's really fun because that's like, oh, they've done it. I need to go and do mine now. But look how great that looks. But also instilling in people that not to start this comparing game, just because theirs looks like that, yours doesn't have to. Maybe for your family, more cluttered than that is enough. So for some people, walking in the home and having an entranceway that is completely empty is really important. For other people, they'll just be happy if there's not a coat lying on the floor. And it's like, what's our level of tolerance? And when you understand what your level of tolerance is, you can stop putting pressure on yourself and you can relax and enjoy your home and be calmer with everybody because you're like, okay, well, we've reached our target today. There's no coats on the floor in the entranceway. Fantastic. Yay. And then I also am providing support on how you talk to members of the family and how you can help the children develop these habits so that it's not all just down to one person to be permanently picking up and tidying and organizing. So, and then we have once a month a live where I do coaching in Zoom, and people can also then come to that and bring their questions specific to their home and maybe even show us on the video, you know, what do I do with this cupboard? I just, whatever I do, it doesn't look organized and it's not good enough for me yet. And it's stressing me out. And then we can work through that together. And everyone learns so much from everyone else's problems. But a lot of it, the discussion is about how we talk to the people we live with. How do we understand tolerance for their level of tidy compared to mine? And how does that work? And how do I help the children with this? And it's an amazing community. I'm very, very proud of it.
I think that, yeah, that's maybe the hardest part is not the tidying, but the tidying with everyone else and everyone else being involved. So yeah, it's really great that you've got this community who can help each other and, you know, give some advice, give some help.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we learn from each other's problems.
Great. And if people want to find more about this membership or about you, where can they find it?
So I have my website, which is caroline-thor.com. And if you want any information about the membership, it's caroline-thor.com/clutter. And that will take you to a page that gives you all the information about the membership. And I also have my podcast, which I've forgotten the name of. Ah, yes. Coming out with all these words that I forgot. Okay. And I also have my podcast, which comes out weekly and is giving lots of tips, Living Clutter-Free Forever, which is available everywhere.
Great. Thank you for that. We'll put those in the show notes so everyone can find them easily. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're very welcome. It's been great fun. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.